He raised his arms, his gnarly old man's hands, trembling with the outriders of Parkinson's, turned upward to the sky in that open immemorial avatar of praise and surrender. "It still sings," he said, and dropped them. "Selah," Callahan murmured. "You say true, we say thank you." "It is a flower," Harrigan said. "For once I went in there to see, in the lobby, somebody say hallelujah, I say in the lobby, between the doors to the street and the elevators to those upper floors where God knows how much dollar bill fuckery is done, there's a little garden grown in the sun which falls through the tall windows, a garden behind velvet ropes, and the sign says, 'Given by the Tet Corporation in honor of the Beam family and in memory of Gilead.'"
"Does it?"
Jake said, and his face lit with a glad smile. "Do you say so, Cy Harrigan? Boy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. God, bomb, and in the middle of all those flowers there grows a single wild rose, so beautiful that I saw it and wept as those by the waters of Babylon, the great river that flows by Zion. And the men coming and going in that place, them with their briefcases stuffed full of Satan's piecework, many of them wept too. Wept and went right on about their whore's business as if they didn't even know."
"They know," Jake said softly. "You know what I think, Mr. Harrigan? I think the rose is a secret their hearts keep, and that if anyone threatened it, most of them would fight to protect it, maybe to the death." He looked up at Callahan. "Pear, we have to go."
"Yes. Not a bad idea," Harrigan agreed. "For mine eyes can see Officer Benzik headed back this way, and it might be well if you were gone when he gets here. I'm glad your furry little friend wasn't hurt, son."
"Thanks, Mr. Harrigan."
"Praise God. He's no more a dog than I am, is he?"
"No, sir," Jake said, smiling widely.
"Beware that woman, boys. She put a thought in my head. I call that witchcraft. And she was two."
"Twins say twim, aye," Callahan said, and then, without knowing he meant to do it until it was done, he sketched the sign of the cross in front of the preacher.
"Thank you for your blessing, heathen or not," Earl Harrigan said, clearly touched. Then he turned toward the approaching NYPD patrolman and called cheerfully, "Officer Benzik, good to see you, and there's some jam right there on your collar, praise God." And while Officer Benzik was studying the jam on his uniform collar, Jake and Callahan slipped away. 5.
"Ooh-wee,"
Jake said under his breath as they walked toward the brightly underlit hotel canopy. A white limousine, easily twice the size of any Jake had seen before, and he'd seen his share once his father had even taken him to the Emmys, was offloading laughing men in tuxedos and women in evening dresses. They came out in a seemingly endless stream.
"Yes, indeed," Callahan said. "It's like being on a roller coaster, isn't it?"
Jake said, "We're not even supposed to be here. This was Roland and Eddie's job. We were just supposed to go see Calvin Tower."
"Something apparently thought different."
"Well, it should have thought twice," Jake said gloomily. "A kid and a priest? With one gun between them? It's a joke. What are our chances if the Dixie Pig is full of vampires and low men unwinding on their day off?" Callahan did not respond to this, although the prospect of trying to rescue Susanna from the Dixie Pig terrified him.
"What was that Gann stuff you were spouting?"
Jake shook his head. "I don't know. I can barely remember what I said. I think it's part of the touch, Pear. And do you know where I think I got it?"
"Mia?"
The boy nodded. Oi trotted neatly at his heel, his long snout not quite touching Jake's calf.
"And I'm getting something else as well. I keep seeing this black man in a jail cell. There's a radio playing, telling him all these people are dead. The Kennedys, Marilyn Monroe, George Harrison, Peter Sellers, Yitzhak Rabin, whoever he is. I think it might be the jail in Oxford, Mississippi, where they kept Odetta Holmes for a while."
"But this is a man, you see. Not Susanna, but a man."
"Yes, with a toothbrush mustache, and he wears funny little gold-rimmed glasses like a wizard in a fairy tale."